Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. Folks, today we are joined by the President of the Methodist Church in Ireland and also the Connectional Lay Leader. The President this year is the Reverend David Turtle and the Connectional Lay Leader is Mr. Tom Wilson. And they were with us last week in our various churches. And so in Athlone, we took the opportunity to go and ask them a series of questions. And so we will be listening to the responses to those questions this morning. Also, we will be delving into Luke chapter 13, which is where we are at on our 260-day journey through the New Testament. And I love this chapter. This is a very exciting chapter in regard to what the Lord goes and does, especially one lady's life. So, that all being said, let us go and commence the program. So the first question that we went and put to both David and Tom was this. Who is God to you and why? Who is God to you and why? After all, do we not want to know what it is that the leaders of our church actually go and believe? And how is Christ personal to them? And so that's the first question we put to them. Who is God to you and why? Here are their responses.
I let the President start off.
So thank you to Nigel. Thanks for the welcome, and it's great to be here. Yeah, who is God to me and why? I think that that question could be answered in different ways, in different times, in different seasons. So God to me is Lord. God to me is Saviour. But I think the theme which I suppose has been striking me particularly of late, and I think the aspect of my relationship with God, which is probably most precious to me at this point in time, is that journey of discovering God and discovering Jesus as friend. And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot over the last month or so. We thought about it a little bit with our ministers on our retreat a few weeks back. And just thinking about the invitation of Jesus, which is on your window here, where he says to come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And how that invitation is an invitation, amongst other things, an invitation to friendship with him. And to that, just that journey of discovering Jesus as our friend. He said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, I have called you friends. And what that means for us, and there's always that tension in that we're dealing with Almighty God. We're dealing with one who is above all and through all and in all. And yet that tremendous privilege of inviting us to be his friend. So I think that's the image that is most precious to me at the moment.
Thank you, David. So, Tom, who is God to you and why?
For me, yes, Lord, Saviour, but to me, he's a constant companion. And I have a distant memory, which I shared with David recently, and it just has come back to me. I would have been a young lad, maybe 7 or 8, attending my local church, and we had a visiting minister speaking to us, and he made an appeal. And as a 7 or 8 year old, I went forward and took one of these little decision cards. And since then, I've always been aware of his presence. But the amazing thing is that that visiting minister turned out to be David's uncle, the Reverend David Turtle. And it's a lovely memory. So a constant companion, encouraging me, not scolding me, but reminding me that I'm not always walking in the path that he has directed for me, or even in a path that is a Christian path. But a constant companion. And the more I live and the more I grow with him, the more I'm aware of his presence. And really, the more I rely on his presence. There are occasions when, yes, I'm aware of his spirit leading me to say something to someone, leading me not to say something to someone. It's almost on the tip of my tongue. And I said, no, I shouldn't say that. But the one word, if you want a one word answer, who is God to me? He's my constant companion.
Thank you, Tom. So folks, if the question was put to you, who is God to you and why? What would your answer be at this present moment in time? Speaking of God being a constant companion, this is My Forever Friend by Charlie Lansborough.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, today we are joined by the President of the Methodist Church, the Reverend David Turtle, and by the Connectional Lay Leader in the Methodist Church, Mr. Tom Wilson. And last week, when they were with us in Athlone, I had put a number of questions to them. Questions that generally I like to go and find out from people what their answers to. And the first question that we'd asked was, who is God to you and why? And David told us that for him, at different points in different times, that can be different things. And at the moment, it is the fact that God is his friend is what is really encouraging him and exciting him in his personal walk with the Lord. And Tom went on to go and tell us the fact that God is a continuous and constant companion in his life, explaining how it is that God had seen him through difficult times throughout his lifetime, especially around the time where his first wife had left him and his children, and he had to go and negotiate those times, and how it was that God ministered and spoke into that occasion. So the second question that I went and put to both of them was this. How have you seen God work during your time as president and connectional lay leader? So the question was, how have you seen God work during your time as president and as the connectional lay leader? Now, just to let you know, in the Methodist Church, being the president only is a 1-year tenure. It only lasts a year. And so, unlike other churches, you only have opportunity to experience what it is to be the leader of the church, shall we say, for a 1-year period, bringing your emphasis and style to that. So it's a very narrow window of opportunity that it is that they can go and see God work. But I think it's interesting to find out what it is that they see God doing at this time. So the question, as I said, that I put to David and Tom is, how have you seen God work during your time as President, David, and as Connectional Lay Leader, Tom?
You want me to start off on that one? As I said, a constant companion leading by his Spirit. Times that we turn up together as a service, perhaps this morning, is one of those things that we don't know what's going to happen. And you know Nigel quite well, so that you are quite aware of that. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. But we know that if we follow God's leading, then what will happen will be what he wants to happen. But the most remarkable thing I have seen God at work is through a group of people called Mediterranean Hope. And that was a couple of years ago with the previous president. We had a trip to Rome, to Italy, and then to the island of Lampedusa. The then president wanted to see the work that the Methodist Church in Europe was doing with the refugees coming from North Africa. And many of them land in the island of Lampedusa. For a long time, Lampedusa wasn't known by the Italians. But Ronald Reagan, when he was president, he bombed some of the oil installations in Libya in retaliation for Gaddafi bombing some cities in Europe. So Gaddafi, in retaliation to Reagan, sent off some missiles to the island of Lampedusa. But the island is so small that they missed. The television companies in Italy wanted to come and see what had happened. Was there any damage? And they sent back these beautiful pictures of sandy beaches, lovely clear water. So the island of Lampedusa now is a fantastic tourist attraction. With the refugees coming from North Africa, they felt that that industry was going to be spoiled, but it hasn't. We were privileged to see a boat come in, and these folk from Mediterranean Hope have got permits, and they go to the dock, and they feed them a loaf of bread and a cup of water. And they come in. One boat that came in, there were 50 on board. And they had come as far as Libya, Syria. One person had actually travelled from Bangladesh. So if you know your geography, to get to the island of Lampedusa from Bangladesh. You would have to cross through India, then to Pakistan, Afghanistan, get to Syria, get across North Africa, and then get onto a boat. So what must their conditions be like at home to want to make that journey to come to Europe? And then find when they come to Europe that they're put into prison or they're put in a detention camp until their motives are really sorted out. But what struck me was that these folk in Mediterranean Hope were there to offer a glass of water and a loaf of bread. There are other agencies helping them. One was a German rescue aircraft. They would fly about, spot the boats coming in, and then warn the Coast Guard. There's a boat coming in, it's a dinghy, it's very precarious, so they would then send, the Coast Guard would go and take those immigrants on board. And we actually got talking to one of the pilots and asked him, how long would you be flying? He said, oh, anything from 4 to 6, maybe up to 10 hours a day. And do you land? No. Well, it's very hot. Yes. You drink water? Yes. Well, you're in the aircraft for 6-8 hours drinking water. What happens to the water? Oh, we wear nappies. So it shows you the dedication of these pilots wanting to spend period in the air in discomfort, wanting to help others. God's working through all sorts of people in so many different ways. But that would be the highlight for me.
David?
Yeah, I think it's very hard to pick one, so let me give you a couple of things. One of them certainly was I had the privilege a few months ago to go out on the streets of Belfast with our city centre chaplaincy. Andrew Irvine, who is one of our ministers, took on this as a pioneer mission project and has been joined by lots and lots of volunteers. And week by week, folks go out onto the streets of Belfast. They wear jackets which clearly mark them out as a city centre chaplain. And they do lots of different things. They engage with the whole community of the city centre there. So they know many of the business owners. They know people who are around day by day. But one specific area that they minister into is the whole area of homelessness and those who are rough sleepers on the streets of Belfast. And I have to say it was just, it was a very profound and moving experience for me to see the relationship that those chaplains have with the folks who are, to many of us, the unseen people are around the streets, and the dedication and care that they give and the dignity that they gave to each of those people as individuals in the way that they shared with them and the way that they ministered to them. And I just heard afterwards that we were talking to one lady and behind her was a man who was sleeping. And I just heard about a week later that man had actually passed away just a couple of days after we had been on the streets. And yet those individuals were people who had a relationship with the chaplaincy team, and they had the opportunity to share, and they don't go out in a way where they are in your face in terms of the Christian message. But each of the individuals that we spoke to invited us to pray with them and to pray for them and to pray for others as well who they knew who were in difficult circumstances too. So there was just a real sense of God's Spirit at work in the midst of that. As Nigel mentioned, we had the opportunity to visit Namibia and South Africa earlier in the year, and again, or last year in July. And again, I was very taken by the Namibian church, and particularly they had a ministry in a refugee camp, in a Siri refugee camp. And just to see the way in which the folks there who were living in that camp, who had built a life for themselves there, but had prioritised not only worship in terms of building a church and having a worshipping community there, but also the way that they ministered to all of the others who were there, and the preschool education. They had all sorts of ways in which they were trying to assist others who were in the camp there. And again, just a real sense that God was in the midst of that expression of love and care, and also just the declaration of him as Lord and as a Saviour. So.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, today I am joined by the President of the Methodist Church, the Reverend David Turkle, and I am joined by the Connection Lay Leader, Mr. Tom Wilson. Both of them had been with us last week, and so I took the opportunity to ask them some questions at the church service in Athlone. And so you are hearing their responses and answers to those questions. First question that I had gone and put to them is this: who is God to you and why? And David went and outlined that at the present moment for him, it was exploring the whole concept of God being his friend. And Tom went and mentioned that God was his companion, always there with him, never leaving him nor forsaking him. The next question that I went and asked them was, how had they actually seen God at work during their tenure as the president and as the Connection Lay Leader? And so they expounded on different aspects of Christian work they had seen taking place and how they'd seen God's hand at work in those things. Well, that brought me to my third question, which I had put to them, and it's important I frame it in the context that had been taking place. So the previous week I had been speaking in the church in Athlone, and I shared about the fact that in the window, the stained glass window of the church, is the words, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And as I had gone into the church one of the days, it really struck me that how many people over the last 160 years of the existence of the church have stepped into that place to read that invitation by Christ as they come in. And so when they come in, they see the invitation of Jesus to come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And if you were to sit down at the right-hand side of the church and then look to the wall on your right, there is this plate that will almost go unnoticed, which goes and says, "Ask and ye shall receive." So I had the picture of this person, stranger, who knows, come in, sit down. There's the invite of Jesus. There is the promise of Jesus. But I had been on a retreat, and the question that had been given to us was the one from John chapter 1 and verse 38, where there was two disciples of John the Baptist who were following Jesus. And then Jesus turns around to them and he says to them, "What do you want?" And so if you would come into this place where you have that invitation, you have the promise that if you ask, you shall receive. And then Jesus were to ask you the question, "What do you want?" Let me ask you, what do you want? And so that was the question that I went and put to both of them. If Jesus were to turn and to ask you, "What do you want from me?" what would your reply be? This is the response of the President of the Methodist Church and the Connection Lay Leader to that question, with the President answering the question first.
I think in a personal context, it's a little bit like the first question. I think it might depend on the time and on the season. I think in this season, the thing I would ask of the Lord is that he would continue to reveal more of his heart to me about the things that he desires and loves most, because sometimes I think it's very easy for us to settle into a routine of doing the things that we think church is about, and very easy to settle into the peripheral things in the life of the church, and yet to miss what's at the very heart of God. And again, it comes back a little to that first question, where I think Jesus has that desire and longing for friendship with us, and that extends to everyone else on the planet as well. And so what are the ways in which I'm able to see, and if the Lord would just impress upon me more, the extent of his love and desire for other people? And I think it's kind of an extension of that in terms of role as well, in that I think just a revelation of what God's heart and desire and purpose and plan for our churches in the coming days, and that's why I suppose we, over this season of Lent, have called our church across the connection to pray and to really seek after God, and particularly on this Friday then to do that in the context of fasting and to just really search after God. I think sometimes we have a tendency to think that whenever we come to Christ and whenever we put our trust in Him and place our faith in Him as Lord and Saviour, that that's what it means to seek after God, and so our seeking's done. But Christianity is a seeking for faith that constantly calls us to seek after God and to yearn after God. And so if the Lord was to ask me, I would be asking Him to make us a seeking people, a people who are constantly searching for His way and His purpose and His plan and the desires of His heart for us and for the people of this island in this time and in this season.
Thank you, David. Tom.
Yeah, my answer would be quite similar to that. And again, like David, I would refer back to the first question. He, as a constant companion, I would ask Him to give me a greater sensitivity to the leading of His Spirit so that I would know exactly what I was meant to do and meant to say. Quite often we turn up. And yet there are times when if we are totally relying on Him, then we can do things without actually realizing He is with us and He is leading us and guiding us. But I think a simple answer would be a greater sensitivity to the leading of His Spirit and knowing what He wants me to do for Him.
Thank you, Tom. Folks, I have one more question which I went and put to the President and the Connection Lay Leader. But at this present moment, we're going to stop up and listen to the reading of Luke chapter 13 as we continue our journey, our pilgrimage through the New Testament, reading one chapter a day. And so today we find ourselves in Luke and chapter 13, having been now 57 days into our journey, our 57 chapters into our New Testament, which has us now in the middle of Luke's Gospel. So let us pause and listen to the reading of Luke chapter 13 by Suchi. Thank you, Suchi.
Luke 13. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years was there. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were ashamed, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, today we have been listening to a series of questions that I went and put to the President of the Methodist Church, the Reverend David Turkle, and also to Mr. Tom Wilson, the Connectional Lay Leader in the Church. And this brings us to the final question I put to them, which was, what is your favourite scripture and why? And here is Tom, Connectional Lay Leader, answering the question first.
I suppose I'll start off with this one. I think it's one that has spoken to me for quite a while. Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart." And there was a period in my life when I really needed that, when my first marriage was on the rocks and eventually broke up. And God sent someone to me to say that He knows what I'm going through, but he's going to be there for me, and he will look after me and look after my children. And not long after that, I prayed a prayer, and that prayer was answered, and God sent Louise into my life, and we're now 28 years married, both serving the Lord. Louise is serving the Lord and through Methodist Women Worldwide, and I have got this particular role. So I think Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart." The difficult part of that is actually doing things that delight the Lord. But if we do that, then our heart will ask for the things that he wants us to ask for. So it's getting that relationship with God, making it as close as it can be. Then the desires of your heart will be what he wants you to desire from your heart.
Thank you, Tom. David?
I might be cheeky and give two. The one that you'll expect me to give, and I think probably if I was really pushed to tie it down to one, would be the one on the glass behind me. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And especially the way the Message translates that. And there's a little phrase towards the end of those verses in Matthew 11, from 28 to 30, just at the end of the last verse in the Message, where it says, "Keep company with me." This is Jesus speaking. "Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And that's a constant challenge to me about how keeping company with Jesus is enabling me to live freely and lightly. But it's also a huge invitation and a hope that there is that promise that as we keep company with Jesus, we will find lightness and freedom in our walk with him. The other one, which I'll probably fluff this and get the reference wrong, but I think it's 2 Chronicles 16:9, but it's a verse which has spoken to me over many years, where it says, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his." And again, there's that aspect of both challenge and promise within it, that the Lord's looking for those whose hearts are open to him, open to his ways, open to his purposes, that he might strongly support us, that he might give us all that we need in order to do what he asks us to do. And I think there's that as I say, those combined things of challenge and promise within that, which on many occasions over the years that has been a very precious verse to me.
So folks, my thanks to David and my thanks to Tom for sharing their answers and responses with us and their hearts with us in regard to the questions that we asked. I had asked them, could I record, and informed them that I would be sharing their answers with all of you. So I trust and pray that you have been blessed richly by all that they have gone and shared with us today. I thought it would be a fitting end, just as it was at the service in which they were speaking, to allow the president to be the one who should close our time in prayer. So let us pray.
Gracious God, we come to you, and Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your invitation to come to you, and Lord, for the opportunity that each of us have to come to you and to know you in our lives day by day. Lord, we praise you that you're the one who is over all and through all, that, Lord, you are the one who spoke and brought planets into being, and yet, Lord, the one who stoops and who is concerned about the very numbers of the hairs on our heads. Lord, you're the one who cares for every detail of our lives. And Lord, you desire to be part of each and every aspect of our lives. And so, Lord, we bless you that you're here with us today by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the ways that you have been at work in each of our lives, for the way in which that we have seen you demonstrate that in each of our own stories. And Lord, we thank you for the desire that you have to be part of each and every person's life in this town, in this country. And Lord, just pray that you would enable us to see the privilege that it is to be part of the outworking of your story, part of the outworking of your work in the lives of other people. And Lord, we pray that you would draw us to look for you, to look for the nudge of your Spirit. And as we do, to, Lord, know the joy that it is to be your servant and your friend. And Lord, that you would guide us and direct us in each and every day.
Amen. Again, my thanks to David and to Tom for taking the time to join me today and to share their reflections. And so, folks, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, show you grace and turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Heartlands on Midlands 103. Midlands.